And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Bjor.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this preview edition as Minnesota heads east, heading into the Horseshoe to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes, looking like a college football playoff contender. But Luke, before we start to get into anything in this podcast, why don't you give them a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, so if people aren't aware and this is your first time listening, this season is sponsored by the Goal Line Club, a booster club that supports Gopher football. If you want to find a way to support Gopher football in any way, the Goal Line Club is an excellent way. It's $100 to join. They have great events throughout the year that you can participate in. They have a fishing classic as well as tailgate, etc. So if you're interested in joining the Goal Line Club, go to their website at goalineclub.org.
So when you look at this Ohio State game, Luke, we talked about in the pre-production meeting, but Saturday is looking like a nice day around the Twin Cities, folks.
Wow.
So if this game gets early on, might want to go outside and enjoy some fresh air.
Well, let's be honest. I think we'd be remiss to not mention the fact that that Urban Meyer still seemingly has a problem with lying.
You mean that top 20 Gopher defense that Urban is worried about?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The Gopher defense, I'm not trying to put them down.
Are Luke and I trying to insinuate that this is a bottom 20 defense? No.
No.
It's probably a middle of the pack defense, but to say that this is a top 20 defense based on the mental breakdowns that you've seen the last 2 weeks? Yeah, that meant that top 20 defense showed up against Fresno State, but it has been on the milk carton for the last month.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're good. They're a good squad. I'm still surprised that he didn't lose his job, but you know, whatever.
Money matters, Luke. Sources tell me that money matters in Columbus, and when your college football coach brings in a lot of money for the university,
like there was no fallout even for the AD. Like that's the other thing that's kind of fascinating. And that
money talks.
Yeah,
the coach at Minnesota or the AD at Minnesota would have been fired in this specific situation? No doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
that's the way things operate.
I mean. One could argue that the president might be losing his job over some athletic-related things, that's only rumors.
Speaking of, how shocked are you that the U of M athletic department has fired the search committee because of inner disputes, which is, how peak Minnesota is that? The University of Minnesota, how peak Minnesota is it that too many people want to have their own agenda on the table so nobody can compromise? You're the athletic department go-to on this podcast, not me. What do you think? How peak Minnesota is it?
Well, I don't know a ton about the whole situation, but I do recognize the fact that Michigan State is also looking for a new president as well, and it looks like the same recruiting firm was hired there as well. So, I mean, imagine that had something to play into it. It just doesn't look good. I don't know if any of the regents listen to this podcast, but optically from the outside, guys, it doesn't seem to be going so well, you might say.
Speaking of people who want to be regents, by the way, Gopher Twitter got Jim Carter to delete his Twitter.
What?
Did you see the tweet that Justin Gard blew up?
Yes, I saw.
In terms of Jim Carter, you know, hyping up, it's not Brett Bielema, what's his name? What's the Wisconsin? I can't believe I'm blanking. I can picture his mug.
Oh, Wisconsin's head coach.
Yeah, he looks like a classic Wisconsin coach.
Oh, this is terrible.
We're terrible people.
Yeah, whatever. I don't particularly care.
Anyways, Jim Carter talks up the Wisconsin coach. Paul Christ. Gosh, we're terrible people. I'm going to have so many people in my mentions angry about this. Talking up Paul Christ, how he doesn't run on the sidelines. It's all about him, me. Justin Gard gets a hold of it, and the man gets just bombarded by Gopher Twitter. Within a few hours, his Twitter's gone. Just gone.
For the record, I mean, boy, we are really avoiding this game incredibly well. We're now like almost 4 minutes in.
I don't think anybody's
But for the record,
thinking,
can we acknowledge what a 180 Justin Gard has taken in terms of just Gopher athletics in general? People hated him because he went to Iowa.
And, he went to Iowa, excuse me.
Yeah, just because he went to Iowa, he advocates for Gopher sports more than almost anyone in this media market.
Like, and especially on the number one news market radio station in KFAN.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a big deal. Again, I don't know why people would
I don't know what reason they have to bash him now.
Now, am I biased 100% because I'm on his weekly radio show Sunday mornings at 8:15? So if you're on your way to church or you're chilling in a duck blind, turn us on at 8:15 on the Cake Show with Justin Gard. But the man wants to do everything to have Gopher football succeed. He's vested in it. We're obviously vested in it. But he's also giving realistic and honest takes. So there's a fine line you have to walk, and I think he walks it very well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's try and talk about this football game. We should at least make an attempt. I will say this. I do still like watching the Gophers go up against the elite of the elite, and these guys really are elite, mostly because it's a good measuring stick to how far we may have to go, right? But you can also see, how does a guy like Rashad Bateman or Zach Anixed or some of these younger players, how do they rise to the moment in really big spots against the best competition, right? So from that standpoint, this game is still interesting to me personally. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be an uphill climb. They're already, a 29.5 point underdog.
For the record, they did open as a 32 point dog. It's been bet down to 29.5 and it stayed there. So at least some people think that Minnesota is going to potentially be able to keep this within four touchdowns, which at the end of the day, with this Ohio State offense, the way it's humming right now, I think that's kind of a big accomplishment, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. So let's talk a little bit about the two deeps. Some action in the two deeps this week, actually. The other thing is, can we trust the two deeps now? Are you actively advocating to trust the two deeps?
I trust everything in them outside of the secondary, because Minnesota listed five starters in the secondary last week and three of them were correct. So there were still two of them where I was like, now Minnesota started in base 4-3, but I don't believe Chris Williamson was listed as a starter last week or Chenault at safety. And the starting secondary was Terrell Smith, Chris Williamson at corner, Chenault and Jacob Huff at safety. So outside of secondary, I have no idea what kind of combination we're going to see. It's just very evident that, number one, P.J. Fleck was not happy with his secondary. He put a lot of the quote-unquote blame. He didn't use those words verbatim, so until you tag him on Twitter and I get some texts from source and that are angry about it. But him and Rob Smith were both upset with the secondary. Now, you look at the secondary, I think they're pretty upset with their safeties, which I can't blame them, and some broken coverages and some different things like that, but the depth chart is much better than it's been in recent years, Luke. And so the only two big changes that I noticed anyway on the Gopher depth chart were Daniel Faalele is starting at right tackle, the Australian monstrosity, the man from down under at 6'9", 400 pounds. He's going to be your starting right tackle. PJ Fleck mentioned it on his Tuesday radio show that Daniel Faalele's redshirt is, quote, off, unquote. So that tells me that for the next seven games in the Big Ten play, Daniel Faalele, barring injury or poor performance, is going to be your right tackle going forward. Kirk Shiraka talked about it on Wednesday with the media that they know that they're going to take some lumps potentially with Daniel. He has played 1.25 seasons of football in his life. So there's going to be some ups and downs, especially with his first career start going against first-round picks and second-round picks out at Ohio State. Welcome to the Big Ten, kid. Let's throw you out at right tackle at the horseshoe. I can't imagine that'll go tremendously well, but I think it'll go better than what Minnesota's previous option had been. And the only other thing to note in the two deeps, Luke, everything else remains the same, is Keandre Thomas. Minnesota's starting cornerback one from game one this year was benched last week after an off-the-field incident against Maryland, played sparingly against Iowa, and with the secondary issues that Minnesota had there, I would imagine we're going to see a lot of Keandre Thomas alongside Terrell Smith this week.
All right, so let's get into when the Gophers are on defense. This is something that we kind of focused on a lot in the breakdown with Derek against Iowa, and it doesn't get a lot easier for the Gophers. Ohio State is arguably one of the best offenses in the country. You've already alluded to that. Just some statistical numbers for folks. They're averaging 49.0 points per game, 565.7 yards per game, about 365 through the air, about 200 on the ground. I think that's probably the definition of balanced and efficient. The Gophers, conversely, as we're well aware, have been a little bit of they struggled against the pass against Iowa, and then they struggled against the run. I would say that it against Maryland. I would say that if you were looking at Ohio State, this is probably not the kind of offense that this defense is going to want to go up against. They have a lot of motion, similar to like a Maryland team. Didn't Durkin come from Ohio State?
I think so.
I think he did. I think that's his background, but I digress. This isn't a great matchup for the Gopher defense. So if they find a way, to basically kind of maybe bring in the reins on Ohio State's offense, I'm probably going to be pretty excited in the breakdown.
So what, I guess, points are probably the worst statistic, and there's some advanced stat people listening to this rolling over in their graves, but what margin, I guess I'll say, would you be happy with and call this a quote-unquote victory for this Gopher defense? Like holding Ohio State under 49, considering that's their average.
I think if you
under
hold
500 total yards.
I think if you hold them under 35 points, that would be a big time accomplishment.
If they have under 35 points, we got to think of some silly bet that I can get on next week's podcast. This defense last four Big Ten games given up 40 points on average so far in Big Ten play. They've given up 42 and 48 points, but one of the big things about this week that I know our Gopher Illustrated members asked me about, what the people of Gopher Twitter asked me about was, what's going on with the defense? And so the number one question I posed to both PJ Fleck and defensive coordinator Rob Smith this week was, in an ideal world, what is your defensive identity? Because we spent so much time with Derek on Monday talking about, we have no idea. I mean, by we, Derek and I, if you want to throw your name into the ring for that one as well, Luke, you're more than welcome. But what is the defensive identity? Because we talked about it. They stink against the run in Big Ten play. Against Iowa, they committed to shutting down the run at the detriment to the secondary getting picked apart by Nathan Stanley for 300 yards and four scores. So when I asked PJ Fleck this, in a coach's answer, he and both Rob Smith talked about they really want to be what Greg Schiano's defense at Ohio State is. So when you look at Ohio State's defense this weekend, you're going to see a bunch of guys that can get after the passer. You're going to see corners that can run very well, especially on the track scene. And you're going to see the middle of the field be able to come downhill and hit you. That's ideally what Minnesota wants. Now, PJ talked about how the number one thing he wants this defense to be is to be able to stop the run. So that's at least encouraging, knowing that where is this game lost, especially as the games get colder and colder here, it's going to be in the trenches, and you're going to have to be able to run the ball in the Big Ten play, and you're going to have to be able to stop the ball. So PJ Fleck mentioned that a lot, and what it comes back down to is this defense wants to be able to rush the passer as well, but they want to do it with just four or five guys. They're trying that right now, and there's a reason why they have two sacks in Big Ten play, both of them by Carter Coughlin, and it's just it's not quite Timberwolves dumpster fire going on everywhere else, but it's still something that's been a big issue for this defense. Now, when you look at this Ohio State offense, they have what I think a name that's going to grab a lot more steam here as we head into November. The quarterback for Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, is a lot different than what has been there in recent years. He is not going to run the ball whatsoever. He is going to sit back in the pocket, and he's going to pick you apart. This dude has been the offensive player of the week in the Big Ten three straight weeks. So, oh goody, Minnesota gets to face a quarterback coming off a three-game heater where he's completing 71% of his passes for over 340 yards a game and damn near five touchdowns through the air a game. I mean, this dude has been on fire. He's coming off a performance last week against Indiana where he threw for 440 yards and six scores. Like, that should scare you that Ohio State's run game is somewhat susceptible right now, but it doesn't matter because they have the horses on the outside, the playmakers on the outside, and a quarterback that isn't Terrell Pryor. He isn't this dual threat guy that you're kind of watching that throwing a pass is just an absolute struggle. Dwayne Haskins has got an arm on him. And with the way that Iowa picked apart this team last week. I think you're going to see Minnesota sell out to, number one, stop the pass, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that, maybe for a series or two, but they're going to try to keep everything in front of them. If there was anything clear that Rob Smith got across the media this week, Minnesota, for the remainder of the season, really wants to keep everything in front of them. So you're going to see these 10 yards and under throws, these, you know, these 5-yard slants, these 7-yard hitches, these deep comebacks. And the question is going to be, Luke, how triggered are we going to be when we record this podcast on October 15th, that Monday, how Minnesota's corners are 55 yards off the line of scrimmage, keeping everything in front of them? Because, yes, you don't want to keep up the deep ball, but you also don't want to allow Ohio State to have 2nd and 3 first down, 2nd and 4 first down, 2nd and 5 first down. It's going to be a struggle of sorts, I think, for this Gopher defense this weekend, just as Luke alluded to. Everybody else that Ohio State has played, they've played some good teams. They've played Power 5 competition, and they're putting up 49 points a game. This offense for Ohio State is just a beast.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their last 5 games, you know, they put up 49 points against Indiana, 27 against Penn State, 49 against Tulane, 40 against TCU. That was actually a really good game. And then 52 against Rutgers. You know, they're, with the exception of Penn State, they're in the 40s or above every single week.
Yeah.
They're about as good as you can get in terms of offensive efficiency right now.
In a road game at Penn State, in, you know, as in a whiteout, you can, where Penn State, I think, is a top 15 team, you could probably make an argument that they're better than that too. To be able to still go in there and win the way they did, I mean, it's still, that's about as tough of an environment as you're going to play. And I think in all of college football, when it's Saturday night, everybody at Penn State comes out. There's 100,000+ there. I mean, it's a very intimidating environment. So when you look at this Minnesota team going into the horseshoe with all the underclassmen that they have, I wonder if it's going to be a little, oh my gosh, we're in the horseshoe. Because, and they cannot start out that way.
No.
Especially if they want to generate any kind of pressure on Dwayne Haskins. The issue is Ohio State's offensive line is the top 15 pass protection unit, and Minnesota's defense is a bottom 25 unit in generating pressure. Rob Smith's defense, 2 sacks in Big Ten play, ties them for last in Big Ten play. So I don't exactly foresee a jumpstart game from this defensive line as they try to figure out how to generate pressure if your name is not Carter Coughlin.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. We talked about this in the breakdown, but you know, if you're not optimistic about maybe where this offense is going, you're maybe not paying attention, right? So through this season, the Gophers through 5 ball games are averaging about 27.8 points a game, 340 yards on in total offense, 196 through the air, 145 on the ground. Conversely, if you look at Ohio State when they're on defense, they're giving up about 365 yards of total offense, 222 through the air, 143 on the ground. Looking at recent point totals that they've given up, they were stout against Tulane, only 6. Rutgers, they only gave up 3 points. They gave up 28 against TCU, 26 against Penn State, 26 against Indiana. So they've shown they can give up some points. You know, they're fortunate to have that offense behind them. I still think they're a really solid defense. You're going to get into, you know, how well they rush the passer, which is, you know, something that the Gophers have struggled with. But you know, the offense could maybe do some things here. There is the potential, and they're going to have to get off to a really fast start if they're going to find a way to stay in this game. They can't get down early.
Ohio State's been susceptible to 2 things. Number one, not starting fast and allowing the opponent to stick around through maybe 25 minutes of play, but that before they put their foot in the gas pedal and remember that they're the Ohio State Buckeyes. And number two, this defense, sans the number one overall pick in Nick Bosa, has still been sensational. The only part of this defense for Ohio State that has been not great, even below average or mediocre, has been the big plays. This defense for Ohio State has given up big plays. And the issue is this Minnesota offense sucks at generating big plays right now. Minnesota's offense has induced 2 plays in Big Ten play over 30 yards. Two plays in Big Ten play over 30 yards. On 51 running back touches, so whether it's on the ground, a pass catch, go for running backs in Big Ten play, have one touch over 15 yards. So you can see why I'm a little bit, you know, people want to put their hat on something, you know, if we do this, we could win the game. Yeah, if Minnesota figures out a way to have like five plays over 30 yards, then damn right this team could potentially make it very interesting in the second half. I just don't know what gives you the confidence that, number one, on the road, this very young offense that got even younger with Daniel Faalele now starting at right tackle as a true freshman, is going to find a way to generate big plays when they've already struggled all season to do so. This is just an Ohio State defense, Luke, that's the one way you're going to beat them, because they're not going to be able to do, I think, much else. You look at this Ohio State defense as a whole, they've got 50 tackles for loss in six games and 22 sacks and 13 additional hurries. To put that in perspective, Minnesota's defense has 28 tackles for loss and 8 sacks. So Ohio State is going to get in the backfield. They're going to create havoc. And the issue for this Minnesota offense is you look at their average down in terms of on third down, their average distance on third down. Minnesota's average third down, folks, distance-wise, is 8.4 yards. That's awful. That's bottom 15 in the country. And on the flip side of things, Ohio State, really good at getting people into third and long. Their average defense, or their average third down on defense, is 8.5 yards. So you can see why I'm a little bit nervous when this pass rush, even without Nick Bosa, that Minnesota has given up in the last 2 weeks in Big Ten play, 16 tackles for loss and 9 sacks. I'm just really hoping that Zach Anikstad can make it through a full game. And if you can't, Tanner Morgan, it ain't fair to you, but you get 20 minutes of garbage time and trying to not get obliterated by whatever's coming after you. So it's just not a game where I think that you're going to be able to draw a lot, just because I think the talent disparity with how young Minnesota still is. Now, would I love to see what this offense could do in like 2020 or 2021 when Anikstad, Bateman, Ottman Bell, Bryce Williams, Faalele, Curtis Dunlap, Blaze Andrews are all upperclassmen? Absolutely. Am I exactly looking forward to seeing what they look like as freshmen against an Ohio State front that is very dynamic? Not exactly, Luke. Not exactly.
All right. So I guess, you know, tell me a scenario where you think this Gopher offense can find a way to score enough points. Do you think it's – is it
– I don't know, because here's the thing. Ohio State's going to put up points.
Yeah.
You mentioned it. They're damn near scoring 50 points a game. Minnesota's offense ain't going to be able to put up 35 points on the road in the horseshoe. I can't – with a straight face tell you a plausible way that happens without so many broken coverages that Greg Schiano, someone that PJ Fleck, Kirk Sciarca, Rob Smith all worship. Like, Greg Schiano would literally have to be fired at halftime, and this defense would have to be disintegrating before I tell you that Minnesota's offense can put up enough points to compete with the way that Ohio State's offense is humming right now and the way that Minnesota's defense is reeling. Now, if Minnesota puts up something above 20, that's a hell of a game for a Gopher offense that right. is as young as it is. So if you're looking for small things to watch before you go outside and enjoy your Saturday afternoon, if you want to stick around and watch the whole game like I will, seeing that if this Gopher offense can get anything going, because I think they're going to try to run the ball, and I think they'll have some kind of success, but it doesn't matter in the long run. If you're not able to pass the ball, and Minnesota's got to be able to find a way to complete some more down the field passes and keep this offense on track, which I talk a lot about this offense being quote unquote on track. What does that mean? That means getting yourself in second and third and manageable, not going second and four and then your right tackle getting beaten. And then it's third and 18. And here they are pinning their ears back and bringing everybody. And Anikstad knows it. I'm tired of the quarterback getting just beat apart. Now, Zach's got to be able to, if he's going to take one lesson from last week, Luke, it's if you feel pressure and you scramble outside the pocket, throw the ball away. Just throw it away. Throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. Don't take an extra couple of sacks and an extra couple of hits when you don't need to. You're going to get hit enough on Saturday, so just throw the ball away.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Goal Line Club and some of their upcoming events that people can participate in. Member or not, you can join Gopher Game Day Preview against Indiana. That will take place the Thursday before the Indiana game. Tickets for that for members are $25, and for non-members are $35. You have until, let me see what date, you have until the 1 p.m. On the 22nd. Okay. To register. Additionally, if you want to join, and I should mention that there almost always is a position coach. Actually, there is always a position coach, and Mike Grimm also hosts the event as the MC. Additionally, if you want to join the tailgate, again, this is a Friday night game for the Gophers on, I believe, the, what date is that?
26th.
It's the 26th. And that would be a 7 o'clock start. So you're probably going to want to put in a request to get off work a little bit early. Come over and join the tailgate. Even if it's cold, it doesn't matter. There's an opportunity to be inside. Again, this is a all-inclusive bar. In addition to, you will get a meal ticket as well. Again, $25 for members. Or no, I'm sorry. I'm totally screwing this up. It's $35 for members, $45 for non-members. You have until the 23rd at 1 p.m. to sign up for that tailgate as well.
Here's the deal. So Friday night, Indiana's in town. You want to go to the Gopher game. You request off work, maybe 1 o'clock. You text your better half or you text your buddies. Gosh, I wish I could go tailgating, but I don't feel like setting everything up. We just don't have the time. Maybe the weather's not great. Maybe it's that late October cold front coming through, one that's going to put me in a tree stand the night before. It's like 40 degrees, northwest winds at 15, windshield at 27. Man, I really want to hang out with my buddies before the game. Man, I wish, you know, my better half could come with me to the game, but she doesn't want to sit outside. The Goal Line Club tailgate, folks. All you can drink, open bar, meal ticket, heated, indoors, bunch of Gopher fans around you, right in front of Williams Arena. You don't have an excuse that if you don't want a tailgate, you don't want the hassle of setting everything up, it's a short work day already, just go to the Goal Line Club tailgate.
Yeah, keep in mind, too, that you don't have to drive, right? You can take a Lyft or an Uber or whatever you're going to take.
Exactly.
Get dropped off right in front of Williams Arena, then catch one after the game.
Heated, open bar, very simple and convenient. Mm-hmm. Bunch of Gopher fans around you. I don't know what else you want in a tailgate. So if you want more information about everything Luke and I just talked about, head on over to goalineclub.org.
All right, so when we look at this Gopher game against Ohio State, we already mentioned that they're a 29-point underdog with an over-under of 59.9. Ohio State on the year is 3-3 against the spread. The Gophers are 3-2 against the spread. The other thing that I want to note is weather-wise, this game actually looks A-OK weather-wise. Looks like the game will start in somewhere around the high 40s, around the game end, somewhere in the low 50s. And it doesn't look like there'd be a lot of wind, about 6 miles an hour. One thing I wanted to highlight, though, Ryan, have you compared the stats of Haskins and Anikstead?
No, I...
Why would you do that to yourself? Well, I just noticed it right now.
All right, well, then bring
this
it up.
This is just how amazing his statistics are right now. He is 142 for 198 with 1,919 yards with 25 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That is absurd.
Sources tell me Dwayne Haskins is pretty freaking good.
Through 6 games, he's – holy cats. Like – how, that's so many touchdowns and so many yards.
He's dropped back, for round number purposes, he has dropped back 200 times. In 6 games, he has been sacked 5 times.
That's incredible.
This Ohio State offensive line is pretty good, and this Minnesota front ain't too good. But yes, Dwayne Haskins and this Ohio State offense, I think this Ohio State offense right now is a top 5 offense in college football, and they get to play at home against a Gopher defense, so. You know, before we get into my keys to the game, Luke, what do you think in terms of, is there a way that, you know, they keep this anything resembling close? I mean, in an ideal world, if you're Minnesota, your perfect game plan, I think, would be to lose 31-14. You are able to establish the run somewhat, milk the clock, so the game doesn't look like a Purdue game where it's 55-20 or something like that. But.
You know, I just don't know if I can see a way that the Gophers can win this game. Obviously, it has to come from big plays, something they haven't been incredibly good at this year. If you look at like ESPN's Power Football Index, they only give the Gophers a 3.5% chance of winning.
I wouldn't even like if this game is played 100 times at Ohio State with this specific team, where they're at in the season, I'm saying a 1 out of 100 they win this game.
Yeah. I don't see this happening. I guess, you know, looking at the spread, I'd say it'll probably be about a 48-14 game. I just really can't see it coming together for the Gophers. That said, I'm excited, like you've said. I'd be interested to watch these two teams play in 2 years and see the maturation of an Anixtad, Rashad Bateman, you know, some of these younger skill players, and especially some of these offensive linemen that you're so high on, you know, taking on Ohio State, and that's the real measuring stick of success.
All right, so I got to have some keys to the game that if Minnesota is going to get a victory today, or excuse me, on Saturday, these three things have to come up huge. So the number one thing I have, my first key to the game, is figure out a way to slow down Dwayne Haskins. Because truth be told, I don't think Minnesota or any other team that Ohio State has left in their regular schedule, or regular season schedule, that is, will be able to accomplish this feat. Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback that we've talked about, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week in three consecutive weeks because he's been completing 71% of his passes, passing for about 350 yards a game with a touchdown to interception ratio of 14-3, which means he's throwing about 4.33 passing touchdowns a game or 4.66 and just an interception. That is incredible. And this is of note because you may or may not have heard, Minnesota secondary took a step back last week when Iowa Nathan Stanley came into TCF Bank Stadium and threw for over 300 yards and 4 scores. So I'd say that Minnesota needs to get pressure around Haskins, which they're absolutely going to need to do if they're going to have a shot in this game to force some turnovers, which Haskins has thrown a pick in two straight games. He threw two picks last week against Indiana. But Ohio State's offense is top 15 in pass protection. I mentioned it. The Ohio State offensive line, for such an immobile quarterback that Dwayne Haskins is, has given up 5 sacks and 200 dropbacks, where Minnesota's defense rates as a bottom 25 unit in the country in terms of generating pressure, which you see in that 2 sacks in Big Ten play. So I don't exactly foresee this being a jumpstart game for this Gopher defensive line on the road, but we'll see how it plays out on Saturday. My number two key would be figure out a way to slow down these pass rushers for Ohio State, because I'm really at the end of the day just hoping that Zach Anixtad is healthy ish and ready to go for a Nebraska game on the road in Nebraska, that this Nebraska team could be winless when this is an absolutely winnable game against Nebraska. But let's not overlook this Ohio State one. I mentioned it, this Buckeye defense with just I think 2 games of Nick Bosa have accumulated 50 tackles for loss and 22 sacks and 13 additional quarterback hurries that weren't converted into sacks. Minnesota's offense has allowed 16 tackles for loss and 9 sacks the last 2 weeks. Now they get to face Ohio State at home. I'm just worried that where this really comes into play when you look into it even further is, I mentioned Minnesota's offense not being able to get on schedule. They've been off schedule so much. This Gopher offense averaged third down distance this year, 8.5 yards, bottom 15 in college football. Ohio State's defense is really good at putting the team that they're facing in third and long. The issue is, where it comes down to is in those passing down situations where it's second and long, third and long, Minnesota's offensive line or Minnesota's offense as a whole is giving up a sack 8.6% of the time. That's bottom 25 in college football. Where it gets really scary is Ohio State's defense in those passing down situations has a sack rate, Luke, of 16.7%. That's third best in college football. Again, with just, I believe, 2 healthy games of Nick Bosa. So Daniel Faalele getting his first career start at right tackle. The rest of the offensive line is struggling to find consistency in pass protection. So Brian Callahan, I do not envy your job this week trying to get them ready to face Ohio State. Now, I expect Minnesota to keep in the tight end almost on every passing play to help out their tackles. I expect them to keep the running back in as well. But that means that Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, and Chris Hotman-Bell are going to have to get open against what I think is going to be a very formidable secondary for Ohio State. And then finally, Luke, if you're going to win in the Big Ten as a 30-point road underdog, you need to have big plays on offense, defense, and special teams. So Minnesota needs to find some big plays. I talked about last week how the most correlated advanced statistic there is to winning a football game is winning the explosive plays battle, in which the team that wins that specific stat wins 86% of the time. Minnesota's offense in Big Ten play, 2 plays over 30 yards on 51 running back touches, 1 over 15 yards. Bottom line, yikes. Just like bleeping yikes. If there's one area, as I mentioned, though, that this Buckeye defense is susceptible to, it's to the big play. They're a bottom 5 unit in all of college football as a defense in preventing big plays. But Minnesota's offense is a bottom 12 unit in terms of generating big plays as an offense. So if it's going to happen, Anixted's deep ball is going to have to be on point, because I don't foresee Mohamed Ibrahim having a big day and generating big plays. Just, it's not in his repertoire. Now, in Big Ten play defensively, Minnesota has given up 12 plays over 20 yards, 5 plays over 30 yards, and now they face an Ohio State offense that, as Luke mentioned, has produced 49 points or more in 4 of their last 6 games. This is a defense in Big Ten play that has produced 2 turnovers in 2 Big Ten games. And now they get to go against Paris Campbell, who is one of the fastest receivers in all of college football. Dwayne Haskins, who is arguably playing like the best passing quarterback in all of college football. So in terms of pulling an all-time upset, things aren't exactly trending in the right direction for Minnesota in that aspect. And then special teams-wise, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know that Minnesota returns a single kickoff against Ohio State, because Ohio State, according to Football Study Hall, has the number 1 kickoff coverage unit in the country. They are limiting kickoff returns to under 16 yards a return. So I think you're going to see a lot of fair catching from Demetrius Douglas and Chris Hotman-Bell. I would say that maybe the punt return game can give Minnesota something, but since Antoine Winfield went down, Minnesota has, I believe, fair caught 6 of their punts, and only 1 punt has been returned, and that was for 6 yards. And I'm also extremely curious to see what version of Gopher punter Jacob Herbers shows up in Columbus. Is it the one against Maryland? That was unbelievable. 47 average, 4 punts inside the 23, over 50. Or is it the one that showed up at home last week? 4 punts, under 38 average. That's a 10-yard per punt difference in 2 games, just from 1 game to the next. 1 punt inside the 20 on a 37 average is not good at all, and no over 50. So in a game where flipping the field is going to matter a ton, Luke, I hope Herbers is going to be able to help out this defense some and not allow Ohio State to be on a short field.
Yeah, you're right. Field position is gonna play a lot into just their ability to either get the defense off the field more. Well, that's counterintuitive, but yeah, field position is definitely going to play a big role if they're going to have any chance. So, yeah, boy, what do you got for a prediction?
Well, from the statistic laden argument that I tried to convey there, you can glean that I don't foresee a Gopher upset. Too many stats going in the wrong way for Minnesota, and too many going in the favor of the Buckeyes. Put that together that Minnesota has won twice in Columbus since 1949. That is 2 wins in 69 years in the horseshoe. So with the way the Gopher defense is trending, with the way that Minnesota's offense is struggling in pass protection, and I think the game script is going to get very negative in terms of Minnesota is going to likely be down double digits early, and then in that respect, you're not, in theory, supposed to be able to establish the run, because then you're just going to be draining clock. But, yeah, I don't foresee this ending well for Minnesota. I have Ohio State 48, Minnesota 13. And as I said, folks, if you don't want to watch the second half, I can't blame you. Go enjoy time with your family. Go enjoy some time with your buddies. It's going to be, I think, 52 degrees and sunny. And get ready for what is going to be a much more winnable game at the Fighting Scott Frost of Nebraska next week.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. Again, we'd like to see you out at one of these tailgates and or events. Ryan and I will likely be at the tailgate coming up that Friday. So
fun. We've been at the last 2, folks. So if you're there and you see us, I can assure you I'm going to be the guy who looks like he has a face for radio, 6'4". Mid-20 looking guy. If you see me, come up and say hi.
Yeah, for sure. Come say hi. Again, want to thank you all for listening, and go Gophers.